Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Gaming Stooges Talks podcast. We are the Gaming Stooges.
I'm Jack.
You can call me Cloud.
And I'm Landon.
We hope you enjoy today's discussion, and if you do, please consider subscribing to our YouTube channel, following us on Twitch, or joining our Discord. Let's get on with the show.
Now we're playing with power.
Nintendo power.
Nintendo power. This was the loser of our poll. We did a poll for PS1 versus NES. We already talked about PS1. So now we're going to talk about Nintendo's first home console foray. And that is known as the Nintendo Entertainment System over here. But it was released as the Famicom over in Japan. And I actually wanted to talk a little bit about the lead up because NES was in a very unique position in previous generations of consoles. You'd usually have like a very there'd be parity between the regions, like what the hardware that you got in one region was the same as in another region. That's not how it happened this time, so because it was the 1980s. It was a weird time. So before we start talking about our experiences, let's set the stage a little bit. This was originally released as the Famicom in July of 1983, and it came out in a bunch of soft launches over here in the American market. A lot of the time, the date of 1985 is usually floated around for when we got the system, but that was only true in New York, technically. It was also soft launched in early 1986 in Los Angeles. The actual full-on North American launch that we know of was September 27th, 1986. So that is why a lot of the popular games that we know of would get pushed back like a year or so in the NES's life. It's because we didn't have the system yet. It actually took a little while. Just to compare the Famicom, I do want to go over some weird little things about it. It was different in that it had two controllers that were hardwired to the console. They'd be like coming out of the back. They had little slots on the sides of the console to put the controllers. And speaking of those controllers, they were not the same controller for both of them. They both had a D-pad. They both had your A and B. But only player one had start and select. Player two had a microphone. And you would think that microphone would get used for a bunch of games. It did not. There was like a small handful of games. And
I can think of like exactly one game that actually utilized it in any significant way.
Do you know of one? Because I don't remember any.
Takeshi's Challenge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Takeshi's Challenge.
There are actually parts of that game that are blocked off if you don't use the microphone, which is pretty funny.
Another very interesting thing about the Famicom is that the Famicom also had an attachment called the Famicom Disk System. And for a little while, Nintendo exclusively put all of their games on that and not on the actual NES proper. So if like you're looking up, you know, research on like NES games and you hear about, oh, it came out on the Famicom Disk System, well, it's because Nintendo was really pushing it because there was like a weird thing where like the cartridges at the time, they didn't have quite enough space. And discs did have more storage, so they just went with that. And then eventually that problem just kind of went away because you could just put more storage on chips that could just go on the cartridges, which is why we never needed the disc system, because we could just have cartridges. They're
gigantic.
Yeah.
Because they just made them so big.
For the viewers.
They just made the cartridge so big.
A Famicom cartridge is like half the size
of
an NES cartridge.
This is so small.
That's kind of generous.
It's so small.
Okay, well, I guess that's like half.
Have you also seen the inside of an NES cartridge? The only like,
look at that.
It's almost completely empty.
It's mostly empty, and yeah.
This
so,
is empty.
interesting thing about those discs too, by the way, is that in Japan they have like disc writer kiosks. So like you could go to the disc kiosk and you could like rewrite games on your disc. And you would have to pay a small fee, but it would be less than the amount of money to buy the new game separate. So like if you wanted to put like Super Mario Brothers 2 or whatever the fuck was on the disc system, like Zelda, you could just pay like, I don't know, like a couple hundred yen instead of like paying like 3,000, 4,000 yen for the whole game. You'd just be like, oh, I'll just rewrite my disc to put Zelda on it. So that was kind of cool. Now, leading up to the North American launch, fun fact that not everybody knows, but before even the soft launches, we actually had access to quite a few what would become NES games because they had Nintendo versus System arcade cabinets. Nintendo was like, oh, arcades are doing really well still over in the country, so let's put our games on the arcade system. They actually had the same hardware as the Famicom, so like we had access to what would be the NES hardware in the form of these arcade cabinets. It was pretty cool. You basically get a preview of the system through these arcade cabinets. And eventually, they would finally decide, okay, we're going to take the plunge. And in late 1985 and in through 1986, they would launch a deluxe set of the NES that would contain the console. You'd have Rob, the robotic operating buddy, a zapper gun. You'd have two controllers and the games Gyromite and Duck Hunt. So one to take advantage of each of those peripherals. Interestingly, though, this deluxe set was not nearly as popular as like you might think by doing like research. It was popular enough to get the system released to a wider audience, but most people probably know the NES for the control deck package for $99 that came with two controllers and Super Mario Brothers, because that pack-in title, 40 million units out of 61 million. I'll go over that more a little later, but 40 million Super Mario Brothers, and a lot of those are pack-ins.
Yup.
I was looking at the list, and you guys know how much
Gyromite sold. It's according to Wikipedia, which is pulling from Computer Entertainment Suppliers Association back in 2021.
Yeah.
It sold 1.32 million.
Which is slightly more than Final Fantasy 1, but slightly less than
slightly more than Final Fantasy 1. And it is the, at least out of any pack-in titles that broke a million sales, it is
that goes to show that most people were buying this because, oh, there was a $100 console with a video game that everybody was talking, that everybody at that time was probably talking about already, because they,
yeah,
like, because by the time we got the actual like full launch in 1986, like I'm sure word of mouth got around because of the soft launches and the Versus arcade cabinets. It was like everybody wanted to play Super Mario Brothers, so that is what people bought so they could play Super Mario Brothers. Before we get, I want to split this up now and give my throat a bit of a break, but before I go over some statistics of the NES and its great dominance of the North American video game market of the late 1980s. Any experience with this console, or are you guys just acquainted with the games?
Pretty much just the games, I think. I'm fairly certain that most of my experience playing NES games was with a Wii remote and not the actual NES controller.
Well, I can tell you right now, the fact that my uncle was apparently an avid gamer when he was younger, I started playing NES in like 1997. This was 4 years after they released the Top Loader, by the way, and he actually had the old version of the NES, which I'll explain a little bit more about that guy when I talk about that. But we actually had the old NES. We had a bunch of games with it. I got to experience the uncomfortableness that is the very sharp edges of this rectangular controller. That is one thing I vividly remember. I didn't have problems with the D-pad. The A and B button felt good. I just really did not like that, the sharp edges to the controller. No, thank you. But oh yeah, for sure. I had a great time playing it as a kid. I got to play pretty much a lot of the games that I'm going to be rattling off when I talk about prominent games and series for the system. But I got some good experience with the NES, not going to lie, even in like the 2 years that I played it before we moved on to other stuff.
For me, it was just that it's a very little bit on the NES itself. It's definitely more.
And the same can apply to me later.
I played a lot of the games on other systems. Definitely the Wii Shop channel helped a lot because I did a lot of like virtual console purchasing and playing of NES.
It did come out almost 10 years before any of us were born,
unfortunately.
Give or take. So it and it was already discontinued but while we were all poo-poo shitting diaper babies. So
except in Japan, where it wasn't discontinued until 2003.
Yeah.
20 years after it launched.
And they still had those damn kiosks up in all those places into that point. It was funny.
Mm-hmm.
So,
now, to be fair, I was still a pee-pee shit-eating pooper, even though I was 10 years
Gold
old.
Stooge Al in the chat was saying he played NES
still am.
Since his
so
dad
that
had
hasn't
one.
Changed.
He played Duck Hunt and Super Mario Brothers 1, as a lot of people did, but nice. All right, so just to rattle off some extra statistics.
Hell yeah,
so
brother.
The NES has sold 61.91 million units worldwide, and that doesn't sound like a ton, but you have to understand this is the late 80s. This is when not only was the market just not as large, there were also less people on the planet. So that's sort of a thing. And almost 34 million of those, they don't have an exact number, but it's like south of 34 million, were just in the United States. And that is a lot for that time. Like the United States only having 34 million of those, like that is still one of the top 10 sellers of all time within the United States. It's like, it's pretty low down there, but it did a lot. It was a craze in the United States for a reason. So like when people like give like retrospective on the NES and they talk about how dominant and how widespread, it's really true. It was like 34 million and back in that time, that's a crazy fuck ton of NESs out there. And yeah,
someone
that
should
would be
run
really cool.
A statistic of world population at end of console life versus like
because you'd get a better idea of like how many households actually there were
and rank consoles
and then,
based off of
like
that
you know compare that. That'd be interesting. So that original NES, we had two variations over here. Mainly, you had the original one, which they have like they designed it on purpose to have like what they called zero force insertion, and that actually led to problems. They made it so that like it was easy to put the cartridges in, so like you press down on it and everything, but it actually just made the pin contacts that much harder to like sustain wear and tear. So if you have a hard time getting your NES cartridges to work in the old NES model, that's because they designed it in a way that it was not gonna last as well. It was stupid. They did it because they wanted it to like feel like a VCR. Because they didn't want it to be a game console. They wanted it to, like, market it in a way that, like, people weren't scared of it because of the Atari fallout in the early 80s. So, like, their solution was, don't call it a game console. Call it an entertainment system. And make it... Call it literally... Yeah. It's a toy. Call it
anything
but a game
else.
Console.
It's
and also
toy.
Design it so it looks like a VCR.
It's a microwave.
And there you go. So that was one thing. And then they made the top loader, which had like the weird dog bone style controller, which that was in 1993. That was pretty much just done as a cost measure because it was way cheaper to do it that way. They didn't have to worry about as much tech that had to go into it. They could sell it for like $30, $40, $50. And there you go. You got a console. So, but the final, so it was finally discontinued. So Jack said it wasn't discontinued until 2003 over in Japan. It was definitely discontinued earlier for us, but it did still last until August of 1995. And the last game that came out overseas anyway was the NES version of The Lion King, but that only came out in Europe because by the time like that game came out, like everybody in North America had moved on to the Genesis or the Super Nintendo. So there was no need for The Lion King on the NES by that point. But prominent games for the system, you've got obviously, and I'm going to be rattling off series and games. So like I did with the PlayStation 1, I'm not going to say every game in a series. Just if I say a game, assume that I mean the series of games if it can apply. We got Super Mario Brothers, The Legend of Zelda, you got Metroid, Punch-Out, Final Fantasy, although there was only one that came out over here, so really only just Final Fantasy, if you wanted to. Yeah. Dragon Quest, which was Dragon Warrior, that did have multiple games. Mega Man, that had six games. you have Ninja Gaiden, you got Castlevania, there was Contra, you got Kirby's Adventure, very successful game to come out very late in the system's life. You had Kid Icarus, Duck Hunt, DuckTales, Ghosts and Goblins, Dr. Mario, Tetris. There was a lot of games based on just ordinary sports, like you had golf, tennis, ice hockey, volleyball, baseball, etc., etc. there. And there were arcade conversions that were very popular. You had Donkey Kong, Xevious. Pac-Man also did get a port that was pretty well-received. There's a lot of others, not quite as much as like sports-based games, but like there was a decent amount of arcade conversions that were on NES. And let's be frank, they were definitely better than anything else the Atari 2600 had, barring maybe Space Invaders. So there were NES games, fun little tidbit, everybody knows there was a reputation for being Nintendo hard. You had games like Battletoads, Contra, Ninja Gaiden, Ghosts and Goblins, Silver Surfer, Mega Man were notable examples, and the Japanese Super Mario Brothers 2 was notoriously so hard they didn't bring it overseas, so we got a whole different game for Super Mario Brothers 2 because Super Mario Brothers: The Lost Levels, as we know it, was bullshit. And last thing I wanted to mention about the NES before we just start talking about it in general, freeform discussion. NES had a lot of accessories. It was very well known for having lots of accessories. It was sold as a thing that had lots of accessories built in, after all. You had ROM, you had the Zapper, you had the Power Glove. The Power Glove, it was so bad, yeah. There was the Power Pad, which was originally made by Bandai. It was basically like a DDR mat style thing that you could like press buttons on by like standing on it. The Game Genie was a prominent like cheat device. This was the rise of cheat devices on consoles, all thanks to the Game Genie, because these games are fucking hard. How do you beat them? You get a Game Genie, you pop in the game, you put in a code, you get infinite lives, you teleport to the level that was giving you a hard time, then you just cheese through it. Thumbs up. NES standardizing a lot of practices and stuff in the industry that we can see even today. Al said the Zapper sucked. I kind of agree. The problem with the Zapper is it really only works on a CRT. If you don't, and even then, it's not the greatest. But if you don't have a CRT, it doesn't work at all. So that's cool.
Literally is useless. I've heard numerous stories of people buying NESs,
it's like, yeah,
and getting the Zapper to play Duck Hunt.
Yep.
And they're like, it literally doesn't work. I just laugh to myself. It's like, you don't know how it works, do you? To have dummy. Although I think they have like weird screen things that you can put in front.
I'm not surprised.
To like pick up.
You can't just point it at a modern TV and expect it to work.
It's still like.
Let's talk about the NES. There's lots of good games to talk about. There's experiences to be shared.
So, rough. I think controversial opinion. A lot of good series start
controversial
on the NES.
Yeah, Kid Icarus.
Yeah. Way, actually.
Yeah.
Name four. Kid Icarus.
The popular climbers, NES franchise, baseball.
Got me there.
It spun off into whatever the fuck the show.
Video
it's actually just based
just
a spin
off
NES.
Baseball,
it's part of the same
NES
franchise series. Yeah. Yeah, just like how
I really thought
RPGs
you were gonna say Dragon
and
Quest
other video games are just a spinoff of
as a series
five.
That also started.
It's a fact. Look it up. No, that would actually make sense. Although, to be fair, Dragon Quest is actually a Western RPG.
True.
Because it's based off of wizardry and Dungeons & Dragons. So, there's actually no such thing as a JRPG.
The only, only JRPG is Clair Obscur.
Yep. And so...
It's the only JRPG.
that's how it can win so many awards, because it's the only... it's the only janky RPG I know of.
What was your first NES game you've ever played?
There we go. Probably Mario, I'm pretty sure. Super Mario Brothers. I think that's the answer for all of us.
For me, I'm not sure if it was Mario 1 or Mario 3, because like when... So like when I first played NES... In that small span of time that I had one, like I'm gonna try and remember all of the games. I played Super Mario Brothers 1, Super Mario Brothers 2, Super Mario Brothers 3. I definitely didn't play 2 first out of those, but it was 1 or 3. So I had all 3 of those. There was Zelda 1, there was Metroid, there was the Who Framed Roger Rabbit game. There was a Gremlins game that I played. There was there was golf. I played golf on that. And I think those were the major ones that I really remember playing, like, as a kid. So, like, it's pretty much just, like, you know, Nintendo's big three at the time. Zelda. I mean, I guess you could argue Punch-Out was more of their big thing at the time. But, like, still, like, what people typically consider Nintendo's big three long-running franchises, Mario, Zelda, Metroid. Like, I played all three of those. And then, like, a bunch of weird licensed shit from, like movie tie-ins. Yeah,
that's fair. I mean,
that's fair.
Metroid and Punch-Out had pretty similar like sales at the end of the day. Like it was like 300,000 ballpark difference, but I mean, they're still like
not gotten a game in 15 years.
Has a franchise, and the other one has a
The one with the space bounty hunter.
Which one's more successful? I don't know.
Yeah,
probably. Are you sure it's not the one that had Mike Tyson in it?
A game that came out last year. Yeah, who knows?
Have any of you guys actually played Mike Tyson's Punch Out? Because I'm not gonna lie, I think I might have played it for 10 minutes.
I've never played. I have and I haven't. The thing is that the licensing
Punch Out. I don't know if it's specifically.
I want to say that the licensing for Mike Tyson ran out like super fucking quick. So every single re-release of Mike Tyson's Punch Out became Punch Out with Mr. Dream, who was the white guy replacement for Mike Tyson.
He was a fictional character who they literally just swapped the skin over. He does the exact same shit.
Yeah, I have played Punch-Out with Mr. Dream, but Mike Tyson's Punch-Out only exists on NES hardware, so I have not played that.
It only lasted for like 3 years because Mike Tyson's Punch-Out was... October 1987, and then Punch-Out came out at featuring Mr. Dream was 1990.
Yeah.
There could have been
regions that like of the country that like they got it sooner.
All things considered, when it comes to NES games, the original Punch-Out has aged like pretty well. I mean, it controls pretty much exactly how you would expect it to. And I mean, if you've only played Punch-Out for the Wii and go back and play the original Punch-Out, it's not that different, actually. The timing might be a little funky on some characters, but like it's controls pretty much exactly the same way.
Yeah. I want to play Punch-Out at some point because of just how iconic it is. Like, it is one of those NES games that a lot of people still, like, remember fondly and talk about. And it's, like, one of those games where it's, like, I never really experienced it that much. I turned it on. I played Glass Joe. I beat him. I moved on to the next guy. I had no idea what I was doing, and I lost. And then I never played it again. That was how I played that.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't matter how much experience you have.
That's fair.
Anyone
That's
can
pretty
beat
far,
Glass
honestly.
Joe.
Anyone can beat Glass
Joe. A fucking 2-year-old could beat Glass Joe.
Exactly.
And Landon's not even 2 years old.
No.
I could even beat Glass Joe.
I remember...
Yeah, I'm still
one of
my
earliest memories with games on the NES was trying to play Zelda. And, like, I think my uncle's copy of the game... I God. Think it stopped being able to save because I remember playing it and then like every other time I would boot it up, my save file would be gone. So like I never got to play all that long into the game. And I was also really bad at it because it's Zelda 1. If you don't have a guide or if you don't have somebody who knows all the secrets telling you what to do, you have no idea what you're doing. And also, I was like 6 years old or seven at most. There was no way I had any idea what was going on. So
yeah. If you don't,
honestly, that was just like a lot of NES games. Like the only games that I played a ton of because that was not the case was Super Mario Brothers, because it's very simple to just know, oh, I'm on the left side, I have to go to the right side, okay, go right, and then just avoid the stuff. It is very simple. It is very easy to understand what you need to do in that game. And so that's kind of why Mario was so popular in the NES, because a lot of people that didn't know how video games worked could easily pick it up and understand how to play a video game. And honestly, I like we don't really give these games enough credit, but like Super Mario Brothers, like everybody talks about what it did for the gaming industry, but it's amazing how right you can get an entire formula in one try that early into the industry. Like you have varied level designs that are interesting, especially for their time. You have a clear set of goals. There's a decent amount of content. Even Super Mario Brothers 1 having 32 levels at the time is a lot, even if they reuse assets still. Just the fact that like you had this big chunky quest of a game that like made you want to keep playing. Like I'm sure most people, they got to like the first world and they died on Bowser and they were like, okay, I had my fun with the game. But like there was a lot of people that, you know, because of that, just the kind of game that was, you strive to get through even further and you realize, oh, there's like all these other levels in the game. You know, nowadays it's like a, what, 3 hour game, but you die a lot. So it feels like it's a lot more than 3 hours. And that filled a lot of time back in the 1980s. A lot of these games though, I think about them and either I don't actually have experience with this version of the game, like Final Fantasy 1. I know that this game is too buggy, so I don't want to play the original Final Fantasy 1. I'd rather my spells all do what they were supposed to do. So I pretty much only play Final Fantasy 1 at least with like the Origins release on PS1 or later. So like any fixed version of the game or later is fine with me. Dragon Warrior, I played like 10 minutes of Dragon Warrior 1. I own it because they were literally handing this game out if you had subscription to Nintendo Power. Like they were like, here's a copy of Dragon Warrior. And that game is very archaic just because of the fact that you have to go into a menu to do everything.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. As someone who's played the most recent non-HD 2D version, even like where they've added a couple like quality of life features, it still feels like the NES game because they left the graphics and everything and all the menus and everything.
Did you play the Game Boy Color version of Dragon Warrior?
It is. Like, I would not go back to. I've not played that yet. So that is on my list. As soon as the Analog Pocket that Jack ordered
still waiting on it, but it'll be there.
I'm going to throw that shit in and start playing. So, still waiting on it. But he told me he bought it and it's shipping to me. And I believe
even in
I would
this market,
never lie.
Even in this market friend, where the Analog Pocket is like out of stock everywhere and is being sold for like, you know, hundreds of dollars, there's no way Jack didn't get one for Landon. It's he had.
No way.
We're just waiting.
I believe.
Oh, you know what? I did play Kid Icarus actually. Kid Icarus was another one that I got to play a little bit of. I do remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine. Like I think for its
rough.
I think if you just like think of it as a game for its time, it's like it's okay. It's definitely like overhyped because like, oh, people are like, oh, like I love Kid Icarus. It's like, have you played it? Because like
you
it's,
love Kid Icarus Uprising.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's
no, you don't.
It's
no,
it's like it's
don't.
A fine game, but like I don't know. I would probably did I play? I don't remember if I played Ice Climber. I think I didn't play Ice Climber until playing it on like Virtual Console or like some sort of re-release. I definitely didn't play Balloon Fight until like the 3DS because they handed everybody that bought a 3DS early enough 10 free games, and that one of those happened to be Balloon Fight. So like now Balloon Fight is on my system whether I want it to be or not. Are you looking up the 3DS NES Ambassador games, Jack?
I wasn't, but I can.
Oh, Landon has food.
Ooh, honey.
The NES burrito.
You should look up.
It was Super Mario Brothers, Metroid, The Legend of Zelda, Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link, Balloon Fight, Ice Climber, NES Open Tournament Golf, Donkey Kong Jr., Yoshi, and Wrecking Crew.
Weird that they put two Zelda games. Like all the ones to get like an additional game. So Punch Out wasn't one of them. That's weird.
Nope.
I would have expected Punch Out. Oh well. Did you play any of like the really like balls hard Nintendo games that like people talk about? Because I think the only one that I definitely have experience with is Mega Man, because I like Mega Man a lot. Like classic Mega Man is so fun that like I don't care that it's hard. I'm willing to like play it, and there's so many re-releases, but like all the other ones, I don't think I've played really.
I have played very briefly, not like very extensively, but I have played Ninja Gaiden. Balls hard, for sure. I've played Castlevania 1.
Wait. Sorry. Ultimate Gamer Al. Ultimate Gamer Al Ninja has Gaiden beaten 1. Castlevania 1 Ninja and Ninja Gaiden 1 2, on Ninja NES. Gaiden 3. So
that is like, impressive. That he is the actually Ultimate impressive. Gamer.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. No, like that's how you know he's take all the sarcasm, gamer. Boy. That is actually really cool because, like, I don't think I could beat a game like that on actual hardware ever. You couldn't pay me to play it on original hardware and actually beat it. So that's really cool. But going back to what you were saying, Jack, you were talking about games, hard games.
I've played Ninja Gaiden. I've played Castlevania. I've played Kid Icarus, but not that much. I've played Contra. I have played I don't remember if I beat it. I have tried Contra using the Konami code before. I don't think I beat it, but
oh yeah, Konami code. Konami code was a really cool thing that they did in this era, starting in this era, and they did it for quite a lot of their games, which is why it got popular. Good old Konami code. Up, up, down, left, right, B, A, start.
I feel like this is the story of a lot of the console retrospectives we've done, but I don't have a ton of experience with the NES. I've played a decent amount of the games, don't get me wrong, but it's not my favorite system, and there's only like a small handful of NES games that I've actually played to completion. Like Mario 1, Mario 2, Mario 3, Zelda 1.
Yeah, that's Metroid. Fair. I think just because of like the fact that like RPGs on the system are so archaic and dated and sometimes glitchy, other times just really like outdated with like the way that you interact with them. It's hard to want to play an RPG on the system because of that. And then it's hard to play a lot of the other games because many of them are just notoriously hard. So if you're not playing some re-release that gives you like quality of life, like restore points or rewind or like just cheat codes to help you make the game easier, it is really just hard to beat a lot of these games. So like a lot of people, I feel like they just kind of stick to like the beatable Nintendo stuff. Like once you get the secrets down, Metroid and Zelda are not too bad. You just have to know how the game works and play through them. And then games like Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, 3 and Kirby's Adventure are easy enough with practice that you can just beat them. So it's not that bad. And then of other NES games, it's like, they're just kind of like those like endless games that you pretty much because they're like, you know, Tetris, Dr. Mario, Pac-Man, like you're not meant to actually beat them. You're just meant to play until you can't play anymore. So the NES had just like certain flavors of games. And that's totally fine for like what the games were at the time. Like that's what games were meant to be at the time. And NES did a really good job of that. It's just when you put it in the context of like today's kind of gaming, it's like putting a square peg in a round hole. It just doesn't always fit. You'd have to shave some edges off to get to work.
Yeah, I mean, it's also just that, like, the reason so many NES games were balls hard was because, like, these games are, like, if you play them to completion without making too many mistakes, most of them are like an hour or shorter. So they have to make them balls hard so that you feel like you get your $60 money's worth when you play this hour-long video game.
I think it was like $40 at the time, USD.
Was it 40 at the time? Okay.
It was like 40 or 50. It wasn't, yeah, they weren't selling $60 games. It does depend, though, like, because the games were cartridge-based, they could vary in price, but most of them were in the 40-ish range. But you could get, like, the oddball, like, the art, like, Zelda or, like, the RPGs, because of how much space they needed, they could be more expensive. Like, Zelda might have been a $60 game, I'm not sure. But to your point, yes, you need to get your money's worth. And the other reason that a lot of them were hard was also because if you weren't paying full price for them, you were renting them. And renting was a big market at the time. So how do you make it so that way there? You get people to keep renting the game, make it hard. Make it really hard. Although Nintendo didn't really care. In fact, they didn't want people renting games in anyway, so.
Yeah.
But on the plus side, it also disincentivized people from renting because at that point, like if you were spending constant money on renting it, you'd be better off just buying the game. So it was a lot easier for a game to just be hard, make people actually buy it so they own it, than allowing somebody to get an easy game, rent it for a weekend, beat it, and then give it back, and they only paid like $5. Like, Nintendo didn't want that, so it was definitely good for them to get games that were hard. Yeah. And speaking of which, Nintendo was definitely like, even with the third party titles, they were in control of a lot of the game flow, because they basically picked and choosed who got to get cartridges. They had to get buy a minimum shipment, pay for it in advance. They were limited on the amount of releases they could have per year, 5 for most. Some companies like Konami decided, oh, we're going to make another game division that doesn't have our name so they can make more games. So like some companies would do that, but like they were very limited on like what third parties could do with like games on NES. So you also had like unlicensed games like Tengen. Did anybody play any Tengen titles? Because I had one Tengen title.
Mm-mm, not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, the cartridges were different. They were they were a black cartridge with like a trapezoid shaped like protrusion rather than the flat thing that went into the NES. I think I had a Tengen Pac-Man title. I don't remember which Tengen title it was, but Tengen, which was, by the way, a spinoff of Atari. Another interesting tidbit there. Tengen did a bunch of games unlicensed after they figured out how the NES had like a lockout technology in their system called the 10NES chip. And they figured it out, like reverse engineered it. They made a bunch of games and I got to play one of those games. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think I ever did.
I mean, blame my uncle. My uncle was the one that had the game, so he was the one that had that. Jim Tendo.
Uncle Jim Tendo?
Jim Tendo.
His Uncle Jim Tendo?
That's, and the funny thing is like...
Yeah, his old uncle.
Unless,
Jim
like,
Tendo.
You were, like, one of those companies making, Jim like, Bible games Tendo. Or whatever. Like, some of those, like, Tengen titles are actually good games. It's just that they, like... They made those games, but Nintendo wouldn't let them release them, so they were like, well, fuck it, we'll just release it ourselves.
There is also a lot of unlicensed porn games out there for the NES. Because, yep, that was a thing.
Hell yeah, brother.
Of course.
I can't imagine it would be all that exciting to watch, considering the graphical limitations.
Yeah.
But they exist.
We're good.
I'm trying to think. I'm looking down because like, I have my like NES and Super Nintendo games on the like behind my computer desk, but I think offhand I only own the one NES game. I'm pretty sure I just own Dragon Warrior. Like I have a bunch of NES. Like I have a good handful of Super Nintendo games. I opted to get Mario All-Stars instead of like the actual NES Mario games, although. Maybe I should think about that sometime. But yeah, I think the only actual NES game I currently own is Dragon Warrior. And I played it for like 10 minutes and realized it was way too archaic and sluggish. And I was like, I'll play a different version of this game.
I own more than double
That's awesome.
Like Famicom That's games, and I own actual NES cartridges. And I only own 13.
Well, which ones are they? Can you rattle them off?
NES Famicom games. So there you go. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Well, I own a bunch of the Dragon Ball, like, for Japanese. Like, if it came out, I own that. And then Fire
That's
Emblem.
That's really cool.
As I showed off, I own the original Fire Emblem on Famicom. But for the U.S. releases, it is Zelda, okay. Zelda 2, Metroid, and Crystallis.
I would say I should be surprised about... no Super Mario Brothers, but when you have like 10 different versions of that game to own, like you don't have to have this the NES version. And that's one thing, like just like with the PlayStation yeah. 1, and definitely more so because of how yeah. Nintendo likes to re-release shit. Like the thing about the NES is it is such a cool system for its time, and you never need to touch it ever in your entire life. Ever. Trust me, you don't. You have all those games. You can find like pretty much all of the worthwhile games to play officially in other areas. Like you'll have the NSO, you had Virtual Console, you had the NES Classic released 10 years ago. It is expensive to get it on secondhand market now, but they literally re-released the damn thing basically for sort of like the 30th-ish anniversary of the system. And they just packed in a bunch of prominent games and they shipped it out for like $60. And you got to have a little tiny NES machine. And honestly, I'm pretty sure that's how a zero number of people got to handle an NES controller for the first time.
Probably, honestly. Yeah. I mean, and then you've got like Dragon Quest.
You've got remakes
of have been
a bunch of these.
Like HD-ified. Not.
Yeah, you Pixel remasters, you have re-releases, collections of Mega Man 1 through 6, so. Like out the ass. Like if there is a modern platform, you can play the Mega Man Classic games on it, and they come with rewind and saves and everything. So like you will get a better experience playing Mega Man on that than on NES, because on the NES, if you die, that's it. You're dead. Kirby's Adventure has been re-released a couple of different times. It was remade as Nightmare in Dreamland. You could just not play Duck Hunt. It's fine. You don't have to play it. Like it was a cute novelty. Yeah.
It's there, but yeah.
Oh yeah. Like Tetris is a prominent game for the system, but
there's
like,
so many different versions of like Tetris that
they release
Tetris
a more
is a prominent game on every system.
In fact, it was even more prominent on the system that came out after the NES when they put it on the Game Boy and you could take it with you.
Yeah. So, nope. No. This isn't even like the best old school Tetris version. Yeah.
And yet, it is the best selling NES game that was not a packing title.
So, like, yeah.
It does have a following for like speedrunning community now. Like, there's like a big. Not speedrunning, score community. Like, there's people that, like, try to get, like, the highest score in Tetris, and they, like, they remove the score cap so that they can, like, see higher, and, like, there's a following for it, but it's, like, you really don't have to play Tetris on this. You can just play it on anything else.
I think, this might be wrong, but I believe the NES version is the version that they use for the world.
I want to say that is the case, yeah.
That's
Classic Tetris World Championship. Okay, so then they do use this one. Okay. Because every year they host the Tetris World Championship at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo.
NES version of Tetris, yeah.
I've never
And
entered,
speaking of championships,
I'm pretty sure it's the...
That was another prominent thing that the NES had. Like, Nintendo was trying to really hype up the gaming community and like the gaming industry at the time. So like they had an actual world championships in like the late 80s, early 90s, where like you would play NES games and you'd have like certain challenges you'd have to do. And they actually had cartridges with those. And some people actually own some variation of them. Some of them are rarer than others, depending on whether it's like just a reproduction version of the cartridge or like one of like their actual limited edition versions of it. But like Nintendo World Championships were a pretty big deal at the time. And you don't really see that quite anymore. It's usually just like different games have their communities and they have a championship series that's like unofficially, you know, unofficial. Like Evo is like fighting community. They have like an official backing by in some degree, but like you didn't have like a company that like made a console and they were like, here's a world championship series hosted by us. Like that was just a special thing that they did back in the day. It's kind of interesting.
I guess they moved. I know they still had it last year, but the actual world championship might have just been like not the actual world championship port, but they moved it back to California in 2024. But yeah, it was hosted in Portland, Oregon from 2012 to 2023, except for like the 2 years of COVID blockage. But yeah, Tetris is cool. I mean, it'd be cool if they brought back more of these, like if Nintendo. I mean,
yeah,
Nintendo
they did
bring
like once,
one
and then they made like a game that was also like based on that for the thing. Switch a little while back.
Yeah, yeah. So it's something that happens, but it'd be nice. Nintendo just do it all the time, every year. Just host a championship, make people play fucking Kid Icarus and remember how dog poop it is.
Not every game on the NES is a winner.
Yeah.
Play Balloon Fight.
What's your favorite? You don't have to say a specific amount, but Jack, what are your favorite NES games that you've played?
Go.
Super Mario Brothers top 13. That's such an oddly specific number.
What's your top 13?
Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah, top.
I like ice hockey a lot. I think ice hockey is actually one of the better sports games on the NES. I like Punch Out. I like Mega Man 2 and 3, specifically 2 and 3. I know that 1, 4, 5, and 6 are all on the system as well, but 2 and 3 are my favorites. Not that they're bad, but...
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, Mega Man 1 is pretty bad.
I'm glad you brought that joke back.
Just like how I'm waiting for Jack to ship the...
Or you're just stuck on Yellow Devil.
One of the two states I'm in. I'm either waiting for my analog pocket or I'm stuck fighting Yellow Devil.
I like Kirby's Adventure a lot.
I can't... That's all I do.
Classic. DuckTales is pretty good.
I never played DuckTales.
Classic.
It's good. I like it. Nice. First Castlevania is pretty hard, but also good. I enjoy it. Okay, no, I don't think I could.
You don't have to actually do 13.
I'll say Dr. Mario. I like Dr. Mario.
Yeah. Dr. Mario's good.
Yeah. I feel like those are all of the most notable ones that I enjoy.
Yeah. All right. So here's the deal. You got Mega Man. You got Mega Man 2. You got Mega Man 3. You got Mega Man 4.
Okay.
You got Mega Man 5.
Oh, God.
You got Mega Man 6. That's a lot of Mega Man. And honestly, I legitimately like all six Mega Man games.
That's a lot of Mega Man.
1 and 3 are kind of but the rest of them are great. So all of them are good.
I like 3.
But Cloud 3
also has
Jack
the,
said
3 also has the dock robots. That is an unforgivable sin. And also the power-ups in the power-ups in Mega Man 3 suck ass, most of them. So I'm sorry, but I'm not the biggest fan.
I think Mega Man 3 suffers from them like trying to reel back. Yeah, overcorrecting the power of Mega Man's abilities purely because of Metal Blade.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I also do like all three of the Super Mario Brothers games, Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3. Super Mario Brothers 3, still my favorite Nintendo game of all time. Never topped, never punished. Love that game to bit. It is amazing to me when you think about it. Like, yeah, it was a late NES game, so like they had, you know, bigger cartridge storage, but like the fact that a game that big, that varied, with 8 worlds, tons of levels to play through, is on a system like that, like it's just, it amazes me just to think about it. Like, that was a game on the NES at the time. And yes, they've like, you know, done little remakes and remasters for the game on like Game Boy Advance, with starting with like the Super Nintendo version, and like was also that was also re-released on like Virtual Console, but like it's still the same game at the end of the day, and that being on NES is like crazy. And on another note, the original Legend of Zelda is also crazy for being on the NES. Like, that is a pretty beefy adventure for like NES standards. So, like, we've talked about, like, on the Game Boy, like how certain games are just like really big for what, like, that, what that system like was expected to have. And like, some of the best NES games are like those kind of, like, you know, envelope pushing kind of games. I also like Metroid 1. I would rather definitely play Zero Mission, but the original was fine. It just, it recycles a lot. It's fine. Like, I went back and I replayed it a little bit after Zero Mission just to get a feel for it, and it's fine. Like, it's a, Landon, you have to think about it from the guise of, this is a game from 1986. when you think about it as a 1986 game, it's fine. It's okay.
Oh, I definitely am.
It's better than a lot of games from 1986.
I mean, it's better than some games that were on the NES. It is definitely better than Mega Man 3.
I would disagree with that, but
I also really like golf. Like, golf. Like, I know it's literally just golf with Mario.
That I haven't played Mega Man 3?
I don't know. Like, golf just was really fun. And, like, they literally used the courses and holes from that for, like, other golf games later on when, like, they brought it back from, like, Wii Sports and Clubhouse games. So, like, yeah.
It's true. They've been reusing those same 9 courses since the original.
Yeah. It ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, I think I remember liking the Gremlins game a bit too. Like, that wasn't it wasn't anything crazy, but like, I remember enjoying it enough that it was like, yeah, that was pretty good. I have a soft spot for Ms. Pac-Man on the NES. Like, I played a lot of Ms. Pac-Man. It's a good version of Ms. Pac-Man, I'd say. Honestly, like, okay. The NES versions of like those arcade games, like Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man, Xevious, like, they are good versions of the games. Like, you are not getting a bastardized version of the game. Like, you are getting a legit version.
It's not like you're playing Pac-Man for the Atari.
Exactly. Like, you are playing Pac-Man. So, that is one thing I have to give Nintendo Entertainment System credit for, is, like, if you were trying to play, like, good versions of, like, arcade hits from, like, 5 years before, because obviously they were coming out with some, like, really crazy arcade games in, like, the late 80s that the NES just could not handle. But, like, if you're trying to play, like, the classic arcade hits on the NES, like, they held up really good. Landon, what are your favorite NES games? What do you like?
Yoshi.
Famous Game Freak game, Yoshi.
True. Yoshi. Yoshi, Kirby's of... Yeah, Yoshi. It's... I don't know what it is about it. Any version of Yoshi is a good version of Yoshi. For those who don't know what Yoshi is, because you just think of Yoshi, the character. It's a drop puzzle game where you are trying to, like, line up Mario enemies, but you can also eggify them. So you get the bottom of an egg, you stack it with a bunch of enemies, and you get the top of an egg, and it goes... And then it turns into a Yoshi, and depending on how many enemies you got into that shit, you get a bigger Yoshi. Big Yoshi. It's just, like, it's fun for, like, point score chasing. So Yoshi is a big one.
I don't remember. I think I played the NES version of that. I actually like, so...
As, like, an action RPG.
I remember liking it. That was good. No, I did play a little bit. It was,
you might have also just
it might have been after you played it on the channel. But okay. I could have also just played it because, like, I saw it on NSO. I was like, oh, I'll play it.
Yeah, that's fair. It's a fun action RPG that kind of takes a little bit from Zelda, but also kind of like,
I do see that a little bit. Like, after playing, because I played both now, so I can, like, say, yeah, it's fairly similar.
Yeah, yeah. So that one's a lot of fun. Interesting story. And then I'm trying to think. Like, I like Zelda 1. Like, I like Zelda 1. I think it's really well designed. I think Zelda 2 could have been better. I also think Metroid could have been better. But I have my issues with Metroid. It's very recycled. It's fine. I've played through the NES version twice, so...
Any other games that you liked?
It's fine. I like it. I own it a lot.
And then...
Mario or whatever. It's just fucking Mario. Bastard guy. Specifically Mario 1. Fuck all those other Mario games. Those aren't real. If they don't sell 40 plus million copies...
Thank you, Mr. AAA Gaming CEO. I'm very glad you were here for your input.
There you go. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Not enough.
Sorry, Duck Hunt.
I wanted
28 million or whatever you fucking sold.
I want to ask
fucking Tetris with
even
eight
if
mil?
It's not specifically not the NES version, enough. Like what maybe you want to play a like re-release that's still faithful to the NES version, but are there any games that stick out that you think about that you want to play one day? I want to try to make this a question from now on to like try to motivate people to play more games.
Yeah,
I'm trying. Yeah,
that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to guess.
Hey, to be fair, a lot of these games could be beaten in a single afternoon. So like,
yeah, true.
Yeah, he chose a system that
exactly
we theoretically could do.
So,
we won't,
yeah, Jack.
But we could. Anything you want to play from the NES catalog, even if it's a remake, re-release,
is that
but
what the
as long
is?
As it's still faithful.
Yeah, like what do you want to play that you haven't played?
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was.
I think that was
what
the question.
Haven't I played on the NES? I don't know. I guess no. I've played Yoshi.
Yoshi.
Okay.
I forgot. Wrecking Crew. I like Wrecking Crew.
I guess
Crew a lot.
The Dragon Quest games? That's like the only major thing on the NES that I can think of that I'm like, I haven't played this and it would be cool to play it one day.
You got 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
There are...
Literally on the Game Boy Color.
Yeah. There are faithful versions of 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, true.
Literally on the Game Boy Color or so, you can get
I'm gonna
the
say Dragon
ones
Quest.
That are on Switch.
That's my answer.
So, all right. There's that.
I already said Punch-Out. That's like one major one that I have just not actually sat down to play that I think I should try to get to. I've thought about playing Castlevania before. So that's another one that I'm like thinking about. Now that I've played a Metroid game, so I have some interest in the genre now, like Castlevania maybe would be something I'd be interested in. So I'll think about that one. Those are the two that pretty much like stick out. I don't really like, I basically played because I like really got into retro games through like collections and shit. Like everything else, if I'm interested in it, I've already played a version of it to some respects. Or your name's Ninja Gaiden and you are way too hard and I'm never touching you ever because I don't want to deal with that shit. So yeah, I'm going to say Punch-Out and Castlevania. Good answer, Steve. How about you, Landon? What's something that you haven't played for the NES that you'd like to try to play a version of someday?
Well, I need to play Dragon Quest III HD, whatever the Switch mobile version is. I just call it HD because that's the easiest.
You can call it with its subtitles since they used a bunch of subtitles. Call it Dragon Quest III, the Seeds of Salvation.
Was that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could do that. The Seeds of Salvation.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking of the Dragon Quest II tag.
Oh,
which,
yeah, that makes sense.
Isn't
that sounds about right.
The Luminaries of the Legendary Line. Yeah, that one's...
Yeah, true.
I just think of the Luminary because everything's an Erdrick now. You're an Erdrick. Seeds of Salvation. The Seeds of Salvation is like one... I do want to play that version because I played 1 and 2. On stream.
House of Castlevania 3 is really hard. Thanks for the heads up. I probably won't touch it.
I never did play that version.
He said Castlevania 1, it wasn't too bad, so.
Yeah, thank you. But I think I'm in the same-ish boat. I think I'm in the same-ish boat where most of the games for the NES I have actually, like, played some version of. Yeah, I guess I could play like the.
I'm not gonna lie. I mean, if you would like any Final Fantasy games, it would either be Tactics or one of the first couple. Like, I don't think you, I, because they definitely take more after like the other RPGs that were out before then. So like your Dragon Quest, your Ultima, your Wizardry, like stuff like that.
Yeah. So I mean, Tactics.
I challenge you to play through it this year.
Chronicles. What is it? Evil East Chronicles. It's on my list. I have my list of games, and where did I put that? I was just re-updating it while I was on the toilet today. I had to take off some stuff that I beat. It's right there. See? It's right there. Look at that. Right in the middle. There's some... for those who are watching the video, some spoilers to some upcoming podcasts.
What was I going to say? I didn't say it during the earlier segment, but I am really glad that I finally did play through a Metroid game now with Metroid Zero Mission. I didn't get to speak on it too much.
Giving Metroid 1 some shade. Listen, my shade for Metroid 1 is I love the series, please. It is just, it's so recycled. There's so many like hallways and that are just the same.
I'm glad that they like, when I was playing through Zero Mission, like, I was impressed. You can get lost so easy. To like just change it up just enough so that it's like you're not feeling lost, but like I still had the sensation in the areas that I played on NES Metroid. I was like, wait, I recognize this. Like, I was surprised. I was like, wow, whoa. Bulk of the game.
Yeah, no, they do the bones of Metroid, the original Metroid
for
are
the games are
good.
There.
I think that's a fair statement. It's good. Yeah, and it's pretty, like, it's fun. There's a reason why it sold almost 3 million copies, is because it's like, it is fun. It's just
hardware limitations.
The execution because of, Al, you're not supposed
to
clip things. Jesus Christ. yeah, he already did. What was I going to say? The bones for Metroid 1 are like, it's like a perfectly fun game. It's just like, it's just because it's a 1980, you know, North America, 1986 fair. Release. It's
any
like,
other games that you wanted to get to? You mentioned Dragon Quest III.
Rough.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I think it's pretty much Dragon Quest III, Seeds of Salvation, and...
All right. So, final thoughts.
I thought I mentioned another one.
Final thoughts on pretty the NES that. Before we move on to
He didn't save the clip.
Housekeeping and catch-up segments.
Very old system where the games on the system may not have aged well. For the most part, but it kind of laid the groundwork for every other video game console to come after. And basically, not to say that every video game system since the NES has been trying to replicate the success of the NES, but the NES was very successful. And it was hugely influential and very important for video games as a whole.
It might be a little tacky to say, but I feel like the NES was the reason why we don't really go to systems before the NES is because like the NES is the start of like just modern like gaming as we know it. Like there, you know, the Atari 2600, Atari VCS, whatever you want to call it, they had the bones, the skeleton of like what like gaming could become, but it didn't quite hit what needed to hit yet. And I think the NES was like the first system to really nail like, this is a game console, this is, you know, these games are why people get the game console. And it's just we really have been basically the same industry for the most part for a good like 40 years since it. You've had, you know, your weird moments here and there. You have your, you know, this is different about this here, this is different about this here, but like just like the structure of gaming as we knew it took hold with the NES. And yeah, some of these games, they don't hold up because they were meant to be bite-sized experiences that you would die a lot and or get lost a lot and eventually overcome. But like this is the really like the true dawning of like games having like quest lines that you're supposed to like take on and, you know, real stories to them, even if like they're not like filled with text. Like the games had a backdrop that like put you in the role of the characters, and just like that's what we think of when we think of games. We think of we're playing as a character, they have a specific thing, their goal they're trying to achieve. And like you'd have other games that it's like, okay, this is a sport and there's very like solid simulation of that. Like, just anything that you can think of that was an NES game, like, that's carried forward to today. Like, we think of games the same way now that gaming was becoming when the NES was out. So, like, yeah, a lot of some people, they overrate the NES. Some people, they underrate the NES. I think the NES is just a great system, that it's good that we had it, because, you know, who knows where gaming would have gone without it. Thumbs up.
You know, my thoughts and feelings are, I hope everyone enjoyed this episode on System Wars Gen 3 edition, because
yeah,
this is it.
Because we're not doing one. Like, you, if nope. we did, we would just be talking for an hour about the NES, 5 minutes about the Master System, and that would be all.
Yeah, and there were other systems that came out, but we ain't going to talk about those.
None of them were notable besides the Master System, yeah, which we would only spend 5 minutes on. So, like, this is your System War, your Console Wars Gen 3 podcast.
Yeah. So it's a twofer. You got a twofer, folks. Have fun. You can re-listen to this and just think of all three of us picked the NES to promote.
Exactly.
If you're ever curious about our thoughts on the Master System,
don't be curious.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, or join the Discord. I
was just going to stay quiet, but
join the Discord and ask us.
Jack, can you give my throat a break and do cleanup while I go get a drink?
Yeah, please. Jack.
Thank you.
You do it.
Hi. This has been... Oh, God. Sorry, I yawned. Hey, everybody. We have a Patreon. On the Patreon, you can subscribe to us for $3 or $5 a month at the Silver or Gold Stooge tier, respectively. At the Silver Stooge tier, you get access to exclusive content, including monthly exclusive uploads that go on to our Patreon. You have access to voting rights on our Patreon for future content that you might want to see, whether it be future podcast topics or future streams, potentially. Sometimes we have stream polls. What else? That's pretty much all I can think of right now. At the Gold Stooge tier, at $5 a month, you get a special shout out. You get everything from the Silver Stooge tier. You also get a special shout out from us, the Gaming Stooges. Currently, we have two. It's Al in the chat right now, and Pixel Vixen, who's not here right now, but we're still giving her a shout out. Join our Discord. We have a Discord where you can talk about video games with us, where we are constantly putting down Nintendo and talking about how much we are just love to put them down and diminish their
accomplishments. Fuck Nintendo. Nintendo sucks.
Fuck Nintendo and the GameCube especially.
We love talking about Nintendo because we hate them so much. Exactly. We love playing Nintendo games so much because we hate Nintendo.
Exactly. You can join our Discord. Link is in the description for that. We have streams going on right now. Currently, I am closing in on the end of Yakuza 0. According to Al, I am roughly 85% done. I'm on chapter 15 out of 17, so I'm getting there. We're getting close to the end. Landon is currently in the middle of Dragon Quest 5.
I am literally,
I assume, has been going
somewhere
well
at the halfway point. Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
And Cloud has been playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Monster Capsule GB.
We are currently just starting the fourth floor monster world out of five. There's five monster worlds where, like, you do like a tabletop RPG segment, and we're on the fourth one, and Mai's in charge of that one for some reason.
Weird.
So that's cool.
My Valentine. And that's pretty much all we've that's everything.
Yeah, so what have you been up to these past couple weeks, Jack?
Guys, do you know what today is?
It's February.
February 18th, as of this recording?
It's update day for the Wii Shopping Channel. As far as what
I've been up
Wednesday.
To...
It is Wii Shop Wednesday.
It is Wii Shop Wednesday. Although if you're listening to this when it goes up on RSS, then it is a Friday.
Then
but
just wait until Wednesday
to listen
Wednesday, to the rest of this podcast.
Yeah.
It's please. It's Fairchild Channel F Fridays.
Mario RPG.
a system that none of us have ever played or touched or will ever know about. Anyway.
Chew Man Fu. Harvest Moon.
Harvest Moon. But no, over the past couple weeks, did I mention it last time?
No.
Let me see.
I don't know.
Well, maybe you should tell us supposed to.
Well, hold on. I'll get to that. Between last podcast and this podcast, I completed Pokemon Legends ZA. That is our Patreon video of the month where Cloud and I reviewed.
Later this week.
Where Cloud and I reviewed Pokemon Legends ZA and gave our extended thoughts on this game. You can listen to that.
You guys 2 hours.
Did that? Wow, 2 hours?
If you subscribe.
Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about it for a while.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
we had a lot to say. That's fair.
Part of me is glad I was not part of that.
I don't have 2 hours.
That's fair. So yeah, I beat that. Really enjoyed this game. You can hear my extended thoughts on it.
I will have to
in
listen.
That review.
Thank you.
Just the other day, I beat Donkey Kong Bonanza.
Wow!
Yeah.
So
twofer.
That is two games completed in one podcast cycle. So
that means you only have 2,024 more games to beat this year.
Oh man, that's so many, but I'm gonna try.
He's gonna do it.
I'm gonna try. But next up on games I'm going to be playing are these two.
Metroid Prime 4 and Trails in the Sky.
I'm gonna be out of town this weekend, so I don't know if I'll be able to get started on these quite yet, but I'm gonna try. I have most of Monday totally free, so I'm probably gonna try and do it. Play a little bit.
You'll definitely want to get to Metroid Prime 4.
I have a suggestion.
Yes.
Bethany should drive and then get a rechargeable portable battery for your Switch too.
Unfortunately, I'm going alone. So
I have a new suggestion.
Get Beans to drive.
Well, I was going to say hire a random stranger.
I was going to say kidnap Bethany. I was gonna say kidnap Bethany and make her drive.
Well, he doesn't have to do that.
I don't think her work will be happy with her if I did that.
Just
have her call out.
Find a
it's
random
fine.
Person on the side of the road and be like, "Drive me so I can play Metroid Prime 4 Beyond."
So I can play
Nintendo Switch 2 Edition.
Yes, Nintendo Switch 2 Edition.
And then that random stranger is gonna be like, "Who are you? What's Metroid?"
So that is. Gaming wise, what I've been up to.
That's what he's done.
As for this past weekend,
I had to
work on Valentine's Day.
Gross.
So did Bethany. We both had to work on Valentine's Day. She had to work till midnight, and that kind of sucked. So we didn't really get to do anything on Valentine's Day together. But the day after, we drove down to Indianapolis and we spent the day down there. We went to the Newfields Art Museum there. And had a good time looking at some art from various points in history. It was pretty fun. I like museums, actually. It's like, I don't really have a whole lot to say about them, but it's like, art museums are really cool, and I like them. But more importantly than that, the main reason I went down to Indianapolis on Sunday was because we went to go see Nirvana the band, the show, the movie.
Oh,
because none of the theaters in town were playing it. And holy shit, it is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen in my life. I hate to just like totally overhype it like right after seeing it, but it's like, it's so goddamn funny. It's one of those like miracle movies where like for many, many reasons, I'm just sitting there in awe, like thinking to myself, how did they make this? How did they make this movie on the budget that they have? How did they do so many of the things that they do in this movie? Like, it's kind of it's a masterpiece, like unironically, on top of just being one of the funniest movies I've ever watched. Landon also watched
it. I did.
And he can
attest
to this. I'm not going to get into spoiler territory.
No, but you're spoiling what I was going to talk about.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah.
I'll get into spoiler territory. No, don't you worry, folks.
And Bethany, having no prior knowledge of Nirvana the band beforehand. I mean, I showed her We Shop Wednesday,
yep.
Like, before we went to go see it.
because like that's pretty much, you watch that video and it's like you pretty much get a sense of like the style of humor and the what you're going to be seeing going in. But like at the same time, I don't think it could possibly prepare you for how insane the movie is. It's so fucking good, like genuinely. I can't wait until I want to see it again so badly, but I can't really justify driving 2 hours to see the same movie in theaters twice.
Yeah,
but I might try convincing my friend if it's playing somewhere in Detroit this weekend, I might try convincing my friends to go see it with me.
Hell yeah, brother.
But we'll see. It's so good. Cool, I genuinely, if it's playing in a theater near you, please go see it. It's so fucking funny. You don't need to know anything about them going in. Just go in, watch it, and have a great time.
Or if you're listening to this way further into the future, just buy the physical release. Just do it.
Buy the physical release.
Yeah. Do it, coward.
Which they said they will be doing at some point. Yeah. So, all right, that's okay. That's anything pretty much else? It for me.
I'm trying to think the last couple of weeks. I played through or finished Yeast 2 Chronicles. I think I mentioned playing through Yeast 1 Chronicles the last podcast. And I have to say, like, those games definitely do feel like you have to play both of them to get the full experience that they meant to have. But it was really good. Like, I enjoyed it. I think that the second game probably is a little bit better than the first game, just the way that they like paced out the two games. But there's some really cool moments, especially like the climax of the second game. So I had a fun time. I also started playing, I mentioned Metroid. I'm going to start playing Metroid games for reasons. I played through Zero Mission because I would rather play that than the NES Metroid because of reasons that we talked about earlier in the podcast. And I gotta say, Zero Mission, I had a lot of fun with it until the then final boss of the original game, Mother Brain, which was really fucking hard. And then there was this whole sequence, which was all right. It was okay. But you're like Zero Suit, and like that was interesting. The final boss after that, though, was like piss easy. Like, I was not expecting it to go down that quick. Yeah. It was like I died the first time because I didn't know what to really do. And then like I went back in and then like it took me 10 seconds and it was over.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? It was a fun time, though. I started playing Metroid Samus Returns, the remake of Metroid 2. I've only played like a couple hours so far, but I'm just about to wrap up Area 1. It's pretty good so far, though. I don't have enough thoughts on it, though, because I'm not that far in. But I'm enjoying it. I think I so far like the pace of the game better in Zero Mission, like the progression of like getting stuff. But I do really like some of the stuff you get like right out of the gate in Samus Returns. Like, you get an ability to just scan the map whenever you want, and you scan like the parts of the map that you're nearby. And it like feels really cool to just be like, okay, I can get to this part of the map and then I can scan like out that way. And like, just, it's pretty cool. I just don't like how much health the enemies have. Like, they have
too much health. I mean, they're made to where you're supposed to just counter them and then like blast them. But also every Metroid is supposed to feel like a boss. So yeah.
Yeah. The Metroids themselves, I don't have a problem with. It's just the normal enemies. No, they still have a lot of health, like, and I don't like
the
that.
Way they made the game was like counter and then like shoot a fucking missile or three at it, and yeah, they can feel like sponges because of that.
But other than that, it's fun. I finished Persona 5 Royal after 110 plus hours.
Where does he have the time to do all
and,
this?
It was, I don't know, man. Like, I'm just, I really liked the game. I will say, like, the very last part that they, like, with the stuff they added in Royal, I feel like the Ryuji's insta-kill ability that you get from his social link kind of, like, just makes an aspect of the late of that part of the game feel a little because like you're pretty much going to want to get to the level cap by the end of the game, but because of that I felt like I was just going through the final palace without doing actual fights for like most of the entire game.
Yeah, that is a downside too, because like you pretty much just get to the cap naturally by the time you like even get that far into the game, so like the final palace, like you are just going to be like skipping fights because it's like it's just a waste of SP. You know, it's not like you have experience.
But other than that, yeah. Other than that, though, I had a great time with it. I'm glad that I got to play through Persona 5 again, and I'll probably not play it again for another at least 10 years, maybe never. We'll see. Incredible game. It's just, it takes so long. Yeah. So
it's long as fuck.
And then I started Dragon Quest VII Reimagined, and I'm having fun with that. I'm 15 hours in. I haven't played Dragon Quest VII ever, and I know like some people have played Dragon Quest VII are having like some criticisms about it, but like I love the pacing of the game so far with like what they did from what I know to like reimagine the game. And this game is gorgeous. Like I only have the Switch 1 version. I didn't even buy the Switch 2 version because I wanted like a full physical version. But even the Switch 1 version is gorgeous. Like the lighting, the character models, the textures that they have for everything. Like it feels honestly like if they made, I know this is tacky, like a lot of people like to make this sort of like mention, but like if they made a Pokemon game in this style, it would be absolutely gorgeous. Like I would die to see like the 3D models for Pokemon like in that style. Like it's good. And I really just like the characters. The characters are fun. The moment to moment like mini arcs that you go through is a lot of fun. So looking forward to playing that. I also got sent a thing from Landon, and I don't know whether to consider this a birthday gift or a Valentine's Day gift because it came around Valentine's Day, but I'm pretty sure it was supposed to be a birthday gift. But I got,
think of it however you want, but I'm not getting you more shit.
Yeah, sure. This is Yi's Memoir, The Oath in Fel'Ghana, which was the Switch re-release of the Oath in Fel'Ghana, which was a remake of Yi's 3, which is the way that I would want to play Yi's 3, because the regular Yi's 3 is a side scroller, and I don't know how I'd feel about that when I liked Yi's for being the top down bump action gameplay. So I told Landon before we started the podcast, I'm going to open this up on stream because it comes with the game, a diorama keychain set, a CD soundtrack, 4 postcard set, and a microfiber cloth. So for the listeners, I will try to like go along with, like I'll try and talk about everything that we're going with, but it's a pretty big box because it has everything that's like in it. So it's got like, it's, I don't know like how to explain like the size of the box, but it's pretty hefty. So on the front, as soon as you open it up, you've got the game.
Nice.
So that's cool. So we got our game, Yi's Memoir, The Oath in Fel'Ghana, rated T for Teen from Falcom and XSEED. Cool. I'm going to open the flap that was housing the game. We've got the soundtrack, which is Yi's The Oath in Fel'Ghana Sound Memoir 2010 to 2020. So this was pretty cool. I don't know how many tracks are on it. I'm not going to open it yet, but that's neat to have a soundtrack. I see Landon's got his package now all together. We got this microfiber cloth. It was folded, but I'm assuming that it has the character from this game. So if I want to wipe stuff down, I have a new microfiber cloth I could do that with, I guess. We've got this cool postcard set. I actually will open this because it's got an easy way to open it. We got I don't know who these characters are on the first one. There's a couple blonde haired characters. I guess I'll find out when I play the game, since I will be playing that sometime in the not so distant future. We got oh my god, we have a Catgirl maid. There's a Catgirl maid. Okay, that's interesting.
Cool. Cloud is intrigued.
Yeah, I might have just bumped up my priority on this game just a little bit. there's another one of a character who I don't know. I'm sure will probably, but I think that it's the same as the Catgirl maid. She's just wearing Catgirl ears in that one. And then there we go. I was looking for one with Adol. There's our boy Adol. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Adol the Red.
Adol Kristen, Adol the Red, and the other two characters that are on all the other postcards. So that is the postcard set, and then we got the acrylic keychains. So looks like we've got, yeah, so we've got, oh my god, this thing's really hard to take out. So we've got these four, they're like chibi-fied versions of Adol and the other two major characters, and then one of literally the symbol for the entire, the, like the logo for the game. And we got a cool little keychain to put those on. So, oh, there's also like a little stand too, so you can stand them up. You can put like the all of those four on this little stand and have them just like sit. Oh, so I could make a little display. That's cute. I like that. I think I'll set that up somewhere. So, yeah, that's really, really cool. I like that they did this entire little release. So, like, I love how XSEED would just like give bunch of goodies out when they release games. They're like, please buy our games. Here's a bunch of cool stuff to go with the game. Just please buy the game. And then people are like, oh, cool stuff. I'll buy the game. And then people buy the games. And yeah. So I'm looking forward to playing this because this would be the version of EES3 that I would want to play. So I was very pleasantly surprised when Landon mentioned that, as I said, stuff about this game in our last podcast, since I was like on my radar, apparently he just found it online and then immediately bought it.
Easy.
So.
Easy peasy, baby.
You could say it was Yeezy. Yeezy.
Yeezy.
So yeah, that's everything for me. Landon, how about you?
The last 2 weeks, I have taken a single breath. Yeah, that's about awesome. As far as I got compared to how much you...
I mean, you've been playing Age of Imprisonment.
I beat Age of Imprisonment. I think I also... I beat Dragon Quest... Did I beat Dragon Quest 2? I did beat it. Yep. I know that.
Yeah, yeah, you played it.
I just don't remember if I beat it after the last podcast or not. I think I did.
It was... Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was after the last podcast.
I beat two games in the last podcast. Just like Jack, I somehow managed to beat two games in one podcast cycle. And that's a feat in of itself. Like, how could I do it? I don't know. Technically, I also beat a demo today. So there we go. A 30-minute demo of Darwin's Paradox. Little thing. The Switch 2 version looks like poop. So I hope that gets fixed for the full release. The game itself is fun, and it's like, it's a very cinematic puzzle platformer. So it feels like Limbo or Inside or something like that, as far as like the game structure. But it's all like, it's very heavy on the stealth mechanics because it's supposed to be like a Metal Gear Solid type game. I like the Kodak cutscenes like come in. The thing you get right before the end of the demo is the ability to ink splooge on things. So that started to be fun.
Nice.
So yeah. I really hope Darwin's Paradox like shapes up to be pretty good. Honestly, all it needs to do, Konami, all you have to do, fix the graphics on the Switch 2 version. Make it not look like poopy, and I'm in. But yeah, Age of Imprisonment, really good. It's a huge fucking grind. I don't even know how many hours I put into that thing, but it's a lot. A lot of good characters. The characters do not steal, are pretty fun. But it's really fun to play as... Honestly, my favorite character to play as was Artie, the Gerudo Sage. Her like lightning abilities are just like super fun. There's one point with one of her combos where she just like does a split in the air. So she's like, she has one of her legs like straight up, and then like you can just like summon lightning down, and then she'll like kick down, and that giant like thing of lightning comes down after that. She's crazy. She's just a lot of fun. Yeah.
Neat.
So, if you hate fun, don't play Hyrule Warriors Age
don't
of Imprisonment
play Age of,
for the Nintendo Switch 2.
Age of Imprisonment.
Yeah.
Switch 2.
Dragon Quest 2, fantastic. I don't even think I have to say anything more than that. HD 2D remake version of Dragon Quest 2. Cloud, come on. Fantastic or, like, fantastic?
Yeah, I mean, it's... We'll talk more about it one day. Yeah. Maybe. We'll see soon. But I gotta say, like, I was impressed with just how good the storytelling was. Like, they really, like, just kind of brought it up to the quality of, like, modern Dragon Quest.
I love it. I really thought they did a fantastic job with it. I liked all the new stuff that they added into it. I felt like helped pad's not the right word. Flesh out. It fleshed out the world. And it really tied in, like, the Erdrick trilogy, like, feels very tied together now. Whereas, like,
yeah, I spent 40 hours on the game and, like, I never felt like any of it was really Dragon Quest.
No, I spent a little over 40 hours in Dragon Quest II specifically. Love that. Jack, do you want to talk more about Nirvana, the band, the movie, the show, the movie? Can't even say it right.
Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie.
That one.
Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie, discussion.
Try not to spoil too much because now I'm kind of interested.
You should absolutely. I swear to God, if it is playing in a theater near you, go see it. It's so fucking funny.
I
don't even want to spoil anything about it, but it's.
All I'll say is if you aren't familiar with Matt and Jay's, like, characters from the show or the web series, you can go ahead.
Okay. So, like, the whole bit from the original series and as well as the movie is that the two of them are, like, a performing duo called Nirvana the Band, and their whole thing is that they are trying to come up with, like, these, like, crazy, ridiculous plans to get a show booked at the Rivoli, which is, a 200-capacity venue in Toronto, even though they have, like, zero knowledge, like, the characters anyway, zero knowledge of the existence of the band Nirvana, and also have made, like, zero actual, like, attempts to contact the venue to, like, book a show. They just, like, try to come up with some crazy plan that gets them noticed to the point where they have to have a show booked. And a lot of it revolves around them, like, doing some crazy shit in public. And, like, having, like, real people reacting to them doing, like, these obscene shit.
So,
and sometimes even breaking laws and getting in actual trouble for doing it.
So, like, there's a little bit of, like Jackass type, like type-ish thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to
but
think
it's not
of,
Jackass.
Like, I've watched stuff like it, like, now that you mention it, like, I'm trying to think, like, I'm sure, like, God, what was a show that, like, I watched where, like, it kind of, you know what, when you describe it, like, the first thing that comes to mind is Nathan for You.
It's, no, it's a lot like that, actually. It's actually a lot like Nathan for You.
You got me. I fucking love Nathan for You.
If you love Nathan for You, then you will love Nirvana the band, because, I swear.
Because, like, the humor is, like, it's very fun. And, I mean,
it's, a lot of it is, like, improv'd, too.
And
like, a good deal of it is, like, written, but, like, they do improv a lot of their, like, material.
And they do, like, right. I was watching, like, an after movie, like, interview they did, and the amount of, like, editing that ends up going into it to, like, make it feel, like, crazy. Like, how did they do that? The answer is probably actually, like, just the amount of, like, clip editing they were able to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like that in the movie. Like, when you watch it, you're just like,
yeah, no, it feels very real when you're watching it.
There's, like, some real people interactions, and I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then the other thing is it really feels like a love letter to Toronto, because they, like, utilize a lot of, like, tourist spots in Toronto. So even though, like, Jack and I, and, like, you know, anyone in America.
I've never been to Toronto, but, like, it feels like they do a good job of really making you, like, I don't know. The best way I can describe it is that it's the most Toronto movie ever made.
But it,
and, like, heavily uses a lot of, like, major landmarks in the city.
Yeah. But in like, a good way that anyone could, like, honestly, like, understand, like, that.
Like, you said Kari loved it.
Yeah, Kari loved it. I did the same thing. like Jack did with Bethany, where all I did was I showed her the Wii Shop Wednesday like clip, so like 2.5 minutes of just that,
that's like almost my entire extent of
and that's
knowledge
all you need.
About
that's yeah, literally honestly,
that's
all you need.
That's all you need. Yeah,
like this whole conversation awesome. Is way more than what we gave her, and
yeah,
like Kari loved it. She was like, at first it was a little slow, and it took a second to hook me, but when it did, like I literally did not stop laughing. That's like what she said. And it's
like true. Like my face hurt while watching that movie because I could not stop laughing at
so many
everything
good bits
that was going
so
on.
Many good bits. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward
highly
to it
recommend
I'll try
watching
to look
it
into
if
it.
You can.
So yeah.
All right. I'm going to be editing this, so I have just one last question to ask. Mm-hmm. We're not going to go over everything because it's not worth it, but there were two presentations there was one for Nintendo's Partner Direct, and there was the Sony State of Play. So we're not going to go over everything. We don't have time, that kind of time. We have a lot of stuff that we like to talk about on all our podcasts now. I do want to ask, is there anything that really interested you from either of those?
I talked about Darwin's Paradox because I played the demo, and that got shown off, and the demo got like announced and dropped that day. Yeah,
State of Play, yeah.
I would say the biggest things that interest me that I can remember, because all I did for the State of Play was whatever you live chatted it in the Discord.
Yeah.
So I think the only thing from that I'm really looking forward to is the new Castlevania.
It's really impressive that they got the Dead Cells people to do it. Like they put it in good hands and it's stylized like the show.
Yeah,
so
I'm excited for. The big stuff from the partner direct, was the Super Bomberman Collection. I'm gonna order that. Digimon Story Time Stranger, especially because the Switch version gets a free Switch 2 upgrade. So
the Switch 2 upgrade
got me on that.
Yep, I'm so excited for Digimon. I'm double dipping. I mean, I didn't double dipping technically because I bought it for Allison, but I'm going to replay it.
You're
going to
buy yourself a copy.
Just for that.
So the household will have double dipped. So
I'm
excited for that. And then the last thing, I didn't think this would happen, but there's a second AAA third party game that I'm going to purchase for my Nintendo Switch 2. Indiana Jones and the Great Circle.
Indiana Jones.
I heard before this, it was actually like a fun, like a well-made game, and Bethesda is putting it on like a full cartridge.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
you got me.
Might as well.
Yeah. So that's the big stuff.
I'm honestly excited to play it too. Landon pretty much covered everything I was interested in. I will mention the God of War trilogy remake that they announced. Looks pretty interesting, and if it ends up being like good, like, you know, a well done remake of the original trilogy, it might be what gets me to buy a PS5. Like I would be interested in potentially if the remakes are good and people say they're good, then I'm like, shit, I might have to get a PS5 for these, cuz I do really like the original God of War trilogy.
And then when he gets his PS5, I will have to order him Days Gone Remastered. That is the threat.
I love how Landon's treat for us getting PS5s is like these mediocre games. It's like, here's a mediocre PS5 game, have fun.
Oh no.
Because
you
your
got
mediocre PS5 game.
Monochrome Mobius, Rights and Wrongs Forgotten.
Damn.
It's fun, but it is mediocre. Yeah.
That's fair. I mean, I watched a video and they mentioned that game. And whatever they said, they said it was comparable to game that Cloud likes, and I was like, oh. And I had nothing else that I knew to order for you for like that year.
I
couldn't think of anything.
I put it back on my list, on my to-do list for RPGs, so I'll go back and finish it sometime. As for me, with the State of Play and the Direct, Nintendo Partner Direct, I am excited for Digimon Story Time Stranger. I'm interested in getting a physical copy of Bomberman Collection. I think it's pretty cool that they're doing console archives now alongside the arcade archives. I'm wondering what they'll do with that, because like they only have a couple games so far, but I mean, sky's the limit. They could put a bunch of cool stuff on that. That's most of the stuff for the... Oh, yeah, Landon, aren't you interested in the new Xanadu game? They have Xanadu?
Yeah, that's a given. I forgot. Well, I was only thinking about, like, the stuff I knew I was going to, like, order or have pre-ordered.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, Kyoto Xanadu, for sure. It's...
Yeah.
They're doing, like a side-scrolling Metroidvania. And the original, like, not the original, because Xanadu was like an old school, like, TurboGrafx. But the Tokyo Xanadu that came out in, what was it, 2012 or whatever, was like a current day like action RPG. And then throw in a lot of like the relationship shit from like the Cold Steel Trails games. So you had like character development, like Trails, but then also like Yi's style combat, and now they're like, it's a Metroidvania, and it's like,
but they still have like a bunch of the other stuff. Like, there was a lot of people who were reacting to that game and they were like, I don't know what I'm looking at.
So, I know, like, that's so I'm excited for that. Yes,
yeah,
thank you.
So that's pretty much everything from the direct side of things. On the state of play, I'll admit, state of plays usually aren't very good, but that one was pretty good. Like, it was 72 minutes of like just kind of nonstop announcements and stuff, and like not too much like really stood out. And then the Konami segment like blew me away. Like, they just announced a bunch of cool shit like all at once. They were like, hey, Metal Gear Master Collection Volume 2, it's happening. We're getting Gear Solid 3 or 4 on everything now. Metal Gear Solid 4 is free. No more PS3 prison. So that's really cool. It also comes with Peace Walker and a couple other things. So I'm interested in that because I want to get into Metal Gear Solid, and I was already interested in getting Master Collection Volume 1. So if I want to continue my playing the series, Master Collection Volume 2, that's cool. I'm also interested in Silent Hill Townfall now that they've shown it off. That looks really good. I want to play Silent Hill F first, though, because Silent Hill F looked insanely good, and I haven't played it yet. And then they announced like other cool stuff, like Darwin's Paradox, the new Castlevania game. So like, Konami is back, apparently. All right. The God of War trilogy is definitely interesting. Like, I liked what I played of God of War 1. I never played God of War 2 or 3, but I might be interested in getting this remake if it's good. I just hope that they, you know, do a good job on it. It is from Santa Monica themselves instead of like the Crash and Spyro trilogies were made by other people.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be really exciting to see what they do with it. So yeah, that's pretty much it. I just wanted to like hit on it just in case, like, you know. That is everything, though. That's everything for the main season 3. Next podcast, we're just going to be doing a wrap up of the season. We're going to go back and going to just kind of do a brief discussion on how we feel about all of the episodes we did this past season. So if you're not down for that, thank you all for tuning in to any of the season 3 episodes we did. And if you are, we'll catch you in that recap. But this has been the Gaming Stooges Talk podcast, and we will see you next time. Roll the outro. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Harvest Moon.
League Puzzle Pokemon. Toe Jam and Earl in Panic on Funkotron.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Gaming Stooges Talks podcast. If you enjoyed us, consider subscribing to our podcast RSS feed or follow us on youtube.com/gamingstooges and twitch.tv/gamingstooges for more gaming content. If you'd like to chat with us, join our Discord. The link can be found in the episode description. We also want to thank all of our Patreon supporters. Your continued support means a lot to us. Not already one? Please take a look at what we have to offer anyone who becomes a patron at patreon.com/gamingstooges. See you next time!